Prosperity Partnership, otherwise known as the North American Union, move forward now that all of the principal orchestrators have been replaced? Present Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper had this to say just a year ago.
Our three countries share peaceful and productive relations that are of considerable benefit to the people of our respective nations.
Current Mexican President Felipe Calderon made similar statements while President Bush glossed over concerns of the citizens.
You know, there are some who would like to frighten our fellow citizens into believing that relations between us are harmful for our respective peoples.
The result of a summit meeting between leaders in 2005, it appears that the Security and Prosperity Partnership is still very much a cause for concern. In an interview with Iranian-based Press TV, Ron Paul discussed his concerns about the need for reform with regard to U.S. foreign policy and putting an end to the Federal Reserve. When asked if he expected a change in foreign policy under the Obama administration, Paul said that foreign policy stays the same regardless of which party is in charge, and foreign policy is controlled over and above the political parties. Paul had this to say regarding Obama during the presidential campaign.
I would argue you offer no change. You have the same foreign policy. You want more troops in Afghanistan. You're not talking about only going to war with a declaration. You don't want to deal with the monetary financial crisis in this country. You want to keep, you know, the system together for the benefit of the banks and the big corporations and the politicians, you know, that argument.
Policy is a blessing in the current U.S. economic crisis, however, as our country cannot afford to continue its current interventionist policies around the world. As for the Federal Reserve, it's simple. Paul states, under our Constitution, the central bank is illegal and holds no value for us. As he puts it, we have legalized counterfeiting. Russian academic Igor Panarin has been predicting the fall of the United States, as well as civil war here, for more than 10 years. But it wasn't until recently that the Russian media started paying attention. Former KGB analyst and the dean of Russian Foreign Ministry's Academy for Future Diplomats, Panarin's predictions have some in Russia smiling. The Kremlin sees this as a chance for Russia to, once again, take its place on the world stage. But Panarin states that as much as Russians may like to see the United States fall, it would cause the Russian economy to suffer as well because of Russia's dependency on trade with the United States and the U.S. dollar. Panarin foresees civil war in the United States before the downfall, after which the U.S. will break apart, with major chunks going to China, Mexico, the European Union, Canada, and Japan. Panarin also sees Russia reclaiming Alaska.
Liberty Network News.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, December 4th, 2008. It's now about 8.04 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. The introduction this evening is actually from Restore the Republic Radio. That was their news broadcast. They had a news broadcast, which they used at 8 o'clock. I was unfamiliar with that, so I wasn't ready for it. So I heard the news as you did. And anyway, we'll have our regular broadcast. We should be here till 9 o'clock this evening. That's Central Daylight Time. But during our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. 652-4620. Email us anytime at comments at libertytalkradio.com. And if you're listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. MyTwoCentsOnline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Andy's the best. He's an economist, and you'll get a good feel for what is going on. This program is now available on Sunday evenings through Restore the Republic Radio Network. We appreciate their commitment to our program and encourage you to visit their website, RTRRadio.com, for their entire listing of informative programs. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, that's all the prep work that we're going to do for this evening. And good evening, everyone. We have five lines open this evening. And this evening, we're going to do something a little bit differently than we normally do. And that is my wife will be my co-host. And the reason for that is that I'm still fighting a severe throat infection, and I'm not certain how long my voice will hold out. So she will be my mouthpiece for part of the evening, and I'd like to say hello to her now. Erin, good evening, and thank you for helping me out.
Good evening, Joe. Thanks for letting me sit in.
Okay, that's great, and I actually hear you. I think we're working. That's fine. Well, the first thing I'd like to bring up is really what our program was to be focused around. And that is, why are we feeling the effects of financial decisions made by others? Folks, this program is a program of bringing out thoughts so that we can really start to think. Because unless we start thinking, we have a problem understanding what is going on and how we should react. The problem we have is we have a problem of accepting what we hear, accepting what we see, we internalize it, and it becomes fact. And it becomes very, very, very difficult for us to truly understand the root cause of our problems. So I have some basic problems, basic issues. And let me say this. I've had this problem for years. When I was younger, I always marveled at those people who saw things so clearly. And I saw things really so uncertainly, I guess. I just could not see clearly. And I always wondered how people can just get rid of all the noise and all of the extraneous garbage and get right to the root of the problem. And what I did, folks, and let me give you a little background. For years, I started to study. I started to read everything I can get my hands on. In fact, I'm going to tell you an epiphany that I had. This was my first epiphany, and this must have happened about 30 years ago. I was reading management books, and I can't think of the author, but he's a famous author on management, and someone, please call in and tell me who he is. I can't think of him. I mean, anyone who studied management knows his name, and I cannot think of his name. It just escaped my mind. But he's written dozens of books on management. He had one book called Management. It's like 900 and some pages long, almost 1,000 pages long. And I was bound and determined because I was had a supervisory position at a fully integrated oil company. I had a lot of people working for me at the time. And I said, I really want to understand this thing about management. I want to be a real good manager. And I read all these books, and I outlined them. I just didn't read them. I actually outlined these books. And I spent hours upon hours, I should say days, weeks, months, studying these books. And not only his, but many, many others. And I never forget the time that I was almost through. I was like page 800 and something on this book on management. And I still was no closer to understanding any more about management than I did before I started reading. I got a lot of principles and stuff like that. I outlined these books. I had books upon books of just outlines. And I stood there and I said, I'm no closer to understanding what all this means than I was 5 years ago. How could I have studied so much? How could I have gotten a degree in business and still not understand? I could not explain to anyone what I've read. In other words, I had all these facts, but it was still all noise. And I never forget this. This is the God's honest truth.
I was almost finished with this book, and I was absolutely frustrated because I realized I was finishing this book, almost 1,000 pages, and I knew I wasn't any closer to understanding, truly understanding management than I was years ago. And I stood there almost depressed. And then I had my epiphany, my first epiphany of my life. And I realized there was an underlying fundamental flaw on all of all of these books that I read contained this underlining fundamental flaw. And this was it. And I said this to myself. I mean, because this takes from years of study, by the way. And it was this. You can manage inventory. You can manage data. You can manage equipment. But you cannot manage people. And when that dawned on me, and now I read that nowhere. I read that nowhere. When it dawned on me, then everything became crystal clear. I understood everything. But you see, I understood even more than the author understood, because the author did not go through this epiphany. The author did not understand. And he was the guru of gurus of gurus of management. Every company, every business school was studying this gentleman. And it was very good. But he missed the very fundamental basis of the whole thing. And that is, you can manage things, but you cannot manage people. Now, the reason why I tell you that story is because we need to start thinking of basics. We need to get down to the root cause, the very, very basics of things. We cannot talk about the situation in Israel with Hamas on the level that we are discussing it in the news. We need to get back to basics. Everything has to get back to basics. Now, let me return to the focus of our discussion this evening. And this program is more about trying to understand. It's an educational program. And folks, I am not the teacher. You are the teacher. We are all teachers. That's why we have a phone. It's 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. I'd like you to call in and teach me. We can do this together. I do not want to do this alone. Now, I asked a question. We asked the questions in the news every night about Madoff and AIG and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and bada-bing, bada-bang, and all this. And how this affects us, you know, as individuals and the dollar. We should be asking the very fundamental question. Just like when I had that epiphany regarding management, I had sort of a mini epiphany when I started to try to develop the program for this evening. And the question that I had was a basic one. Why should the decisions of other people affect me? I have no stock in AIG. I don't even know who AIG is. I don't know where they are. I've never worked for them. I don't buy anything from them. But yet, what AIG did affected me directly. Now, why is that? How could that be? That tells you there's a fundamental flaw in our entire financial system. Forget about all of the mumbo-jumbo that you hear on TV. Forget about all the technical language. Forget about all the financial language. Forget about all the investment language. Forget it all. Ask yourself a basic question. Why would something that's an act of somebody in a different state transacting business that you don't even understand and not involved in affect you? Now, once we start asking that basic question, then we can get angry. Now, once we start getting angry, then we'll start doing something. And once we start getting angry because we understand the fundamental problem, then when these clowns on TV, these politicians, these paid-off politicians, when they get on TV to explain to us what the situation is, we know what they're saying. We understand. We don't need to listen to them. All right, and here we go. We have a caller. Caller?
Hi, Joe.
Yes, you're on the air. Your first name, please, and where you're calling from.
Hello, this is John, and I'm calling from Tulsa.
Oh, John, hi. How are you? Thank you for calling
in. Hi, Joe. I could not resist calling in today after listening to your overview of your question of why financial decisions of others is going to affect you. And I've got a real... my answer to that question would be is that unfortunately, we don't live in a free market society. We live in a, call it what you will, socialist society or a communist society, but at the end of the day, we don't really own our own money. We don't own our own homes. We don't own anything. We're taxed on everything, and the government controls the economic system, and they are in bed with corporate America is what I believe, and so consequently they saddle us with the debt of bailing out all these companies so that we...
Hello, this is Tom with hempusa.org.
Oh,
most of
John?
You have been hearing ads for
John?
The past few months, and it's no secret that the economy
an
is
ad came on, a commercial came on. Hold on, John, let's go through this commercial.
Okay.
New dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family. The time to act is now. At hempusa.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Did you know an ad on Restore the Republic Radio, like this one you're hearing right now, sells for less than $15 for a whole week of advertising? If you have a product or service that sells to the Patriot Freedom Movement, RTR Radio is a place for you to advertise. Visit rtrradio.com, click on the advertise link, and place your bid now. Not only are you building your business, but you're helping support us, allowing us to continue to bring all the news and information that the mainstream media refuses to share with the public. We appreciate your support. We look forward to working with you to create a mutually beneficial business relationship here at rtrradio.com. 25 years ago, a man named Clayton Tediton prayed for guidance and asked God what he could do to help mankind. That night, Clayton awoke to a formula written in lights on his bedroom wall. He woke his wife, but she saw nothing and told him to go back to sleep. He made her get up and write down what he saw. The next morning, he followed the formula written on his wall, and they found they had made soap. The soap was perfect. No carcinogens, no soap scum, and it cleaned so well, restaurants started using it to clean the grease off their floors and ovens. Yet it was so gentle that his neighbors started using it in their showers. A second product was born called Neutralizer, a clear alkaline energized water. It was the foundation for the soap, but when taken internally, it had so many health benefits it could truly be called miraculous. Six products are now in the M2 line. Soap with moisturizer, neutralizer, neutralizer gel, moisturizer, and deodorant stone. The products sell for $16 each plus $5 shipping, or you can get all six for $100. Call 505-908-9498 or go to freeamerican.com store and order securely online. Are you suffering from election shell shock? We've got the perfect therapy, the surefire cure. Regain your sanity and restore your equilibrium by reading The Grim Shadow, a modern-day fable. A story packed full of action, suspense, betrayal, terrorism, and a dubious political election. The Grim Shadow is at its core a parable of courage, loyalty, and love. Check out the reviews at thegrimshadow.com. Little book, big story. The ultimate allegory.
John, are you still there?
I am, Joe. If there was something I said, you could have just told me to not say it.
Oh, no, no. What happened is we had a commercial, and typically there is some music that comes on and that sort of preps you, and then I can talk through the music, and I can say just, you know, hold on, folks, here's a commercial, blah, 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 and the commercial just came on. But let me just remind our folks, this is my name is Joe Christian. I'm your host for Liberty Talk Radio. We have John Fanning on the phone, and he's talking to us about the our government financial system. Also is my co-host, which I haven't had given an opportunity to speak at all, is my wife, Erin. She's here in the studio, too. Unfortunately, she cannot hear, John. She cannot hear what you're saying because we do not have dual headphones. So I'll have to summarize what you said to her so she can respond in kind, okay? Basically, sure. What John has said, Erin, is that... he says, well, we have very little control of our financial situation because the government controls the money supply together with the Fed and the large corporations. So, you know, we're stuck in a system where we are just subjects of the system. I mean, we really don't own our money. Basically, someone else owns us through the money. What do you think of that?
Well, I agree. I think in general that we as citizens of any government are being managed, if you will, by all kinds of entities, with the government perhaps being the ultimate manager. And the outcome of that is that we all become placid, happy citizens who will go along with whatever the government tends to throw at us.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned manager, because remember in the introduction I told you about my epiphany where I realized that you can manage inventory and data and stuff like that, but you cannot manage people. But yet you're saying that the government is attempting to manage its citizens. And what happens when a husband tries to manage a wife, or a wife tries to manage a husband? Is that a happy marriage?
Obviously not.
Absolutely not. What do you think, John?
I try not to try and manage anyone in my house, and when I do, it usually doesn't work. So.
Right, it doesn't work.
My kids or my wife.
And this is what the government is trying to do several things, many things, all of which don't work. They're trying to manage people. They're trying to adjust the economy. They're trying to all these. They're trying to stimulate the economy, and none of this ever does work, and yet they keep on doing the same stupid thing all over again. What do you think the answer is, John?
Well, just to back up a little bit, I think that I would agree that it doesn't work. However, it has the illusion of working for a very long time.
Right, it has the illusion of working. That's correct.
For instance, the way our Federal Reserve System works, and I think that's the core of the problem, is when you end up having a dishonest money system to begin with, when your money is founded on a lie, then you just create a house of cards, or basically a facade. It's a all design, smoke and mirrors. At some point, when people realize that there's no value behind the money system, and that no matter how much money you make, it's not going to, eventually this house of cards will collapse, well, then they lose confidence in the money system, and when that happens, the house of cards collapse, regardless of the amount of money that you pump into the system.
Right.
However, over a long period of time, these people have been able to just pump more money into the system, stimulate the economy that way, and then that has created this boom and bust type of mentality,
right,
and has led to where we are now. But I think the cows are coming home, the crows are coming home to roost, so to speak, because at this point, it looks like confidence is being lost in the dollar, and these guys have spread themselves so thin, and consequently our country so thin and burdened us with the debt, then now the big sell-off is going to begin. And at that point, our dollar will lose value. And I think the solution I would suggest, Joe, is to eliminate the Federal Reserve and go back to some sort of monetary system that is kept in check a little bit better than our fiat currency is. I don't know if the gold standard is the answer, but it certainly we certainly need to have some more checks and balances over the group that prints our money. And creating money from debt, I think, is the big thing.
Right.
We don't have to.
Creating money from debt is the big problem.
Right. So I don't know why we do that.
Yeah. Well, it's a way of controlling the money supply. It's a matter of control, and it's a way of making. You got to follow the money, John. Whenever you see a transaction, follow the money. People are making money by printing money, and they're making big money on this deal. Now, see, I'm a real advocate of the gold standard, because the gold standard divorces the government from the citizen. The citizen becomes independent. If you have a gold coin in your hand, and I, regardless of what it's worth, that gold coin is independent of any governmental agency. That gold coin could have Thomas Jefferson's imprint on it. It could have Donald Duck. It could have Vladimir Putin's name on it. It makes no difference. It's a gold coin. It's a gold coin. If it's an ounce, it's an ounce. And it's used in international trade. And all the banks need to be are depositories, sort of safes. They have to be safe deposit boxes for that gold. And that's what they started out to be in the first place. Well, then we don't need a government. And then if the government wants to start a war, we say, go start a war. But you're not going to get my gold. And all of a sudden, you don't have any more wars. I'm a big advocate of the gold standard. The more I think about it, the more I realize how it makes a person truly free, because it's honest money, the more I become an advocate of gold standard. And nothing else can substitute for that. Now, it doesn't have to be gold. It could be silver. It could be platinum. It could be anything of value. Aaron, would you like to comment on that?
Well, I think the states are at present asking for even more stories, if you will, on that house of cards that John mentioned, in that they are asking for $1 trillion of federal assistance. This is according to a Reuters story that I read today by a John Hurdle. And Mr. Hurdle indicated that the governors of five states have urged the federal government to provide $1 trillion in aid to the country's 50 states to help pay for education, welfare, and infrastructure. However, if you think about it, those particular sources of spending are things that should be under the purview of the states anyway, rather than the federal government. I'm surprised that they're asking for money to help with those kinds of spending issues or reasons for spending, rather than drum up something different that maybe could have some other justification.
Well, would that violate the sovereignty of the state?
Apparently it doesn't, or at least they don't think it will, because they're asking for it. The package, according to this article, is $350 billion to create jobs by building or repairing roads, bridges, and other public works, $250 billion to maintain education, another $250 billion in, quote, counter-cyclical spending.
Counter-cyclical spending. John, could you help me on that? You're smarter than I am. What the heck is a counter-cyclical spending?
counter-cyclical. Well, I guess cyclical is a cycle, so this would be going counter to the cycle, but I'm not sure. I'm on the computer. I can Google it for you if you'd like.
Oh, no, don't do that. But next time I asked you for money and you say, Joe, what do you want the money for? I said, it's for a counter-cyclical thing. Okay? And we'll understand each other. Okay, I'm sorry. Aaron,
give it to you.
Okay, I'm sure you would. Hold on. Aaron's going to finish up.
I think what we have here is I think we have a case of the wheels falling off of the car, basically. And the states asking for money is just a result of, the states make money from taxpayer revenue, as does the federal government. Well, now that the federal government is bailing out all of these companies and the market has been crashing and everything is going down, what you end up having is less and less funds for the states as well as for the federal government. So it's kind of a vicious cycle, so to speak. And you're going to end up having more and more people going to the federal government for buyouts. And if they continue this trend, they'll devalue our dollar further,
right,
and they will further turn us into a socialistic-type system where everything will be indebted to the federal government,
right,
or owned by the federal government.
Right. John, just let me take a second for station identification before we run into another commercial again, because they're not giving me warnings on the commercial today, tonight, for some reason. Folks, as you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio, I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We have on the phone John Fanning, and he's discussing the issue of federal bailouts. And as a co-host this evening, we have my wife, Erin, because I'm losing my voice, and she's helping me out this evening. She's doing a fabulous job. We have four open lines. Please call in 646-652-4620. Please call in. It does not have to be on the subject at hand. Call in with any comments or questions. Okay. Now, John, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I wanted to get that in before we went to another commercial.
No. And I went ahead and looked up countercyclical, and it is a term used in economics to describe how an economic quantity is related to economic fluctuation. It is the opposite of pro-cyclical. However, it has more than one meaning.
Oh, good. Now, that's clear. I'm glad they use that, because, you see, the governors are using terms like counter-cyclical, and I'll bet dollars to donuts if this gets out on the news media, you know, on the major networks, and they say, for counter-cyclical reasons, and they ask the man on the street, they say, why are they asking for money? Well, the man on the street would say, well, they're doing this for counter-cyclical reasons, you know, and they have no idea what they're talking about, which is what they normally don't. They normally don't know what they're talking about, so it doesn't really make much difference, does it? Well, I think
for pro-cyclical reasons.
Yeah, I would just love to see honest money again, where a penny is a penny and a penny is worth something, a nickel is worth something, a dime is worth, all the way up the line, and then we don't have to worry. I mean, AIG can go bankrupt, belly up. We don't give a damn what the heck happens to AIG or Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, because our money is our money and it's good, and you cannot create more gold or silver out of thin air. So they go under, and we benefit by it because we have more of the money. It just makes absolute sense to me. I don't know why. Well, I know why, because of political reasons. Well, John,
but I don't think that's going to happen, Jim.
I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen at all. The only time it will happen is if there's an uprising of some sort. I mean, a tremendous uprising, and I don't even see it happening then. There would have to be something so dramatic. At least myself, I could not envision it at all.
Well, I think the people of the United States, as unfortunate as it is, have kind of got the have developed what's called learned helplessness. We, our education system and things like that are at the point where we've been taught to basically, you know, wait on the government to help us out of whatever our situation is, and not to get out of line. We're good obedient slaves, essentially.
Right.
And I don't know how that happened. This was a country of independent thinkers, entrepreneurs. And I think within one generation, one or two generations, we've basically become obedient workers with no real interest in making any change. They don't teach civics in school anymore. They don't really give us any type of, I mean, anyone you talk to will say that when they elected this last president, they chose, whoever they voted for was the lesser of two evils. So people kind of have grown to expect to have an either-or choice. I can either go to work here or for the government, or go to the private sector for a corporation. They don't really see outside of the box.
That's correct.
Nobody thinks, well, I could do something different. So,
yeah, John, let me change the subject a little bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about the situation in the Middle East between the nation of Israel and the and Hamas. Erin has something to say. Erin, you said you want to have something to say about that.
Well,
hold on, John.
Again, I've been reading articles here. One of them is from the New Zealand Herald, which apparently is a newspaper. Just to summarize, as most of us know, Israel has retaliated to rockets fired from Gaza, which were retaliation for Israel's blockade of the territory, which was retaliation for the territory's election of Hamas, obviously an Islamic political party that doesn't recognize the Jewish state. Each of these steps has been a disproportionate response, which has escalated the conflict and brings the region no closer to a solution to the source of so much resentment and terrorism worldwide. Why is it that these escalating events are allowed to happen without people taking more of a role in discouraging such things from taking place in the first place? Why do we not have more excitement and more denunciation of these actions by not only Americans, but Israelis and those in Gaza?
Okay. John, what do you know about the situation? I don't plead total ignorance. I have my opinion of it, but I've never studied. What could you add to this discussion?
Well, you know, there's a pretty good website that ifamericanew.com, I believe is what it is. Or it's ifamericanew.org, which is a independent journalist out of the Gaza Strip who's been reporting on this for quite a while, and there's some video clips and things like that. And there's been a virtual cutoff of all the power, electricity, and everything to the Gaza Strip for some time now.
Deception and political spin.
John, we have another commercial. They did not give us a clue yet.
I know.
So let's listen to this commercial. We'll be right back to you, okay?
That was supposed to protect our freedoms, actually took them away.
Here's your Patriot Act! Here's your...
What if you could be arrested for asking a question?
Help! 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 Are you kidding? You're arresting me!
What if the government could monitor your communications and break into your home?
Well, they punched me in the face.
Will you resist? Or will you freely surrender your liberties? Welcome to the new American dream.
For the land of the free.
Are you tired of the old media? Then welcome to RTR Radio, an integrated radio broadcasting network that brings you truth of what's really going on around you. If you're concerned about where this country is headed, tune in to RTRradio.com. While other networks wait to see what's going to happen in America, we tell you what's happening in America. Get your daily dose of truth, liberty, and justice right here on RTRradio.com.
Survival food. SurvivalFoodNow.com. We are living in uncertain times. Unless you've been living under a rock, you understand that indeed times are changing. Not only are we hearing about the energy and food crisis, but we're feeling the effects of both. SurvivalFoodNow.com has been established by a group of concerned Americans who care about the future of our families and yours. We at SurvivalFoodNow.com understand there are three basic necessities for our survival: air, water, and food. We all have air. The majority has water, but only 0.2% have a food supply. So what are you going to do? There are only two choices. Be prepared or don't be prepared. The security of your family may very well depend on the choice you make. SurvivalFoodNow.com's mission is not to cause fear or panic. Our mission is simply to let our fellow countrymen know they only have two choices. SurvivalFoodNow.com knows being prepared can be a costly proposition, but it is our goal to get a storable food supply to all our members. Just $50 a month, auto ship, will keep you prepared. SurvivalFoodNow.com.
Delia Lopez, Republican Congressional Candidate, District 3, Oregon. Delia Lopez will secure our borders. Delia Lopez will fight for a balanced budget and shrink the size of government. Delia Lopez will fight to stop the encroachment of our civil liberties that are being stripped away from us by our acting members in Congress. This November, vote Delia Lopez. DLopezForCongress.com. DLopezForCongress.com.
John, are you still there?
Oh, I am, Joe.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry you're holding on so long, but the Let me stop again for station identification, folks. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Oh boy, we have an echo, and this occurs from time to time because of the Skype network that we're on. But it will go away. We hope.
We hope.
Because if it doesn't, we're going to have to shut down. We have the echo again. Okay. Just told my wife I was complaining about this echo. John, do you hear the echo?
I do. I hear it.
Yeah, and I don't know how long it'll last. If it persists, we'll just have to cut this short and have just a 40-minute program because I'm sure people don't want to listen to this very long.
Well, let me hang up and see if that helps.
John, it's not on your end. It's on the Skype end. And it, hello, John? Okay. Yeah, it's not on your end. I would have to literally... Oh, it's gone. What do you know? Yay. Okay. All right, John. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. We had some feedback problem. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. On the line is John Fanning. And we're talking about our monetary system. In the studio with me this evening is my wife, Erin. And she's helping me because my voice is going south these days. I have a bad throat infection. And it's better. It's a little bit better, but it's still... I'm starting to lose it, as you can tell. I'm starting to lose my voice again. Okay, John, I'm sorry. You got interrupted by a commercial, and would you please continue?
Well, all I was saying is that as my limited knowledge of the Gaza Strip and of the Palestinian territories is that these people are pretty much kept in a cage to a certain degree. They're walled off. There's not a lot of resources available to them. And during this blockade, I don't know how long it went on for, but basically all resources, power and everything, were cut off dramatically to them, so that the hospitals, and there was no food getting in there, there was no power, there's no water. The power was cut off from the water sewage systems and things like that, so that everything backed up into the streets. And they've just had horrible living conditions. Most of the jobs are within Israel, so in order to get into Israel, they have to go through checkpoints on a day-to-day basis and are often harassed by the military police, as well as sometimes there's incidents where civilians get killed. And then these rockets that they are shooting into Israel, which apparently are coming out of these residential neighborhoods, are being met with horrific force. I mean, they're being met with bombs being dropped from airplanes into neighborhoods. And one thing that I did know is that Israel wanted to promote their aggression or their agenda, and they put a YouTube video out showing then pinpointing a bombing site and showed these men, and they said they were loading missiles onto a truck. And they fired upon these group of people and basically destroyed the trucks and destroyed the vehicles. Well, the next day, a Palestinian man said that it was his truck that got hit by the missiles or got hit by the Israeli aircraft, and that in reality they were loading oxygen tanks onto the truck he had a welding business or a metal fabrication business, and they were moving them because they were afraid and his family and his workers were loading them, and that is who they shot. So they were not missiles, and despite the fact that that's what it looked like from the air.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of what's going on is you've got a lot of civilians being killed, and it makes me sad to see that type of activity going on. It also makes me sad how one-sided the media seems to be in the United States, and how supportive of Israel it is, and how just totally oblivious it is to the struggles of the people of Palestine.
Right. Well, I guess Hamas's position is the British back in 1948 surrendered Arab land to the Israelis and subjugated the Arab people at the same time. And they didn't like that because over 90% of the population of Palestine were Palestinians and Arabs, basically, and less than 10% were Jewish who were just settling there. They were new settlers in there, except for a few old families that lived there as Palestinian Jews, and they were perfectly content to be that way. And I can understand that. I mean, if that's Arab territory and then another country, a foreign country, and Britain did this, a really stupid thing, you know, they just wanted the heck out of Palestine because it was an endless pit for them to stay there. There was nothing for them at that time. And they wanted out badly. And as a result, they turned it over to basically the enemies of the Arab people. I mean, I don't know what they expected, but that's exactly what happened. And now Hamas says, well, we don't recognize you as the owners of Palestine. That belongs to the Palestinians. And apparently the Gaza Strip is an independent territory, is not part of Israel, but an independent territory. And Hamas has been elected as the governing body. Could you help me with that, John? Am I about right or wrong?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Israel won a big portion of the Gaza Strip in the Six-Day War.
Yeah.
That was quite a while back, but I don't remember the date exactly. But then they returned it to the Palestinian people and made it an independent territory and held the elections, and Hamas won. And so I think you're correct about that. And a lot of times you'll hear people say, you know, this Israel was always the Jewish people's land. But really, it was flattened 2,000 years ago by Caesar, by the Roman Empire. And since then, you had the people who settled there, and then they were basically kicked out when the British turned that land over to the European Jewish people, the people from Europe, after the Holocaust and everything. And so I that's how I understand it happened. And I think that what's going on over there is basically genocide. I think they're getting rid of these people a little bit at a time and slowly pushing them out. And I also find that the Arab countries around there, like Egypt and Syria and some of those other places, are just as guilty because they're not doing anything to help those folks. They are refusing to take refugees.
Right.
And so it's kind of a mess. And unfortunately, I think that what's going to end up happening is Israel will either kill all the people or run them out. Those who leave will probably be the lucky ones because I don't think that they have much of a leg to stand on.
Well,
they really aren't recognized by anybody within the world as a country or anything. Yeah. And they are at the mercy of their neighbors who don't want them there.
That's right. Well, what's strange is that I cannot figure out for the life of... Well, hold on a second. Well, we're talking about the Palestinian situation. You want to add anything, honey, about the Palestinian situation, Hamas?
Well, I wanted to mention that apparently the reason that Palestinians have been angered about the situation does harken back to the effect of the breakup of Palestine when the British divided it years ago. And obviously the continuing activity of the government in adding resettlements and seizing homes of Palestinians and imposing blockades on Palestinians to restrict their movements, obviously they're going to rebel against that, hence the choice and the election of Hamas. However, the real nut of the issue is the reaction of Israel, I think, because Israel has the power to punish an uprising. They just can't defeat it. They also have the power, however, to remove settlements on the West Bank. And they could even permit Palestinian states to be freely governed. However, they don't want to do that, apparently, because their fear is that if they give those people who were displaced since 1948 the right to return to their homeland, then the balance of the population may change and result in a change in the Jewish majority. That seems to be the reason for resistance to the full Palestinian right of return. Israel fears for its religious character if it ever makes that kind of a concession. However, Judaism was freely practiced in the Islamic Empire, which preceded today's warring states. So you would think that that kind of a balance could be brought back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. The part that I don't understand is that Israel is the superpower of the Middle East. Even without U.S. assistance, if we cut off all assistance to Israel and all of the Arab countries banded together, Israel would still be the odds-on favorite of winning a war. I mean, that's how powerful they are. Why would a rinky-dink organization as Hamas want to take on Goliath? That's what I don't understand. You have any idea, Joe? You have any thoughts on that?
Well, Joe, I think that first of all, the Palestinian people have been Hamas or whatever, they've been mistreated to the degree and starved out and just are in such desperate situation that they would rather go down fighting than continue to live in just the horrible conditions that they're in. And they're hoping, I guess, that by instigating this, that maybe something will happen. Another possibility is that they didn't do anything at all, and we're just being it's just being reported to us that these missiles are coming out from Hamas.
That's right.
And someone else who has another agenda could be shooting the missiles, and then we're being told that it's Hamas from the Palestinian region and that they're going to go in and defend their right and defend themselves.
Right, yeah.
So those are two possibilities that run across my mind.
Well, you know, this may all have to come to an end anyway because, you know, we spend a little over $3 billion a year, at least budgetary $3 billion. I'm sure we spend a lot more than that as aid to Israel, and that may have to come to an end because we may not have the money to give it to them anymore. So I wonder if the worldwide financial crisis will come around and maybe solve some of these problems for us.
That's a thought. I don't know that. I mean, in my personal opinion, like the United States should not be spending money to assist anybody outside of the United States.
Right.
We're in a big enough crunch as it is, and that's not what we're supposed to be about.
Right.
And especially not Israel.
I agree.
Or any of the Middle Eastern countries like Saudi Arabia or any
right.
of those others.
Yeah. Well, we may not have a choice very, very soon. We may just be forced in not giving money out anymore. Or if we do, we'll give it out in depreciated dollars, you know. We'll give them 10% of what they were getting before because that's all the dollar will be worth. So it may all work itself out in spite of themselves, you know. Well, John, I want to thank you so much for calling in.
You
helped save my voice, and I owe you a cup of coffee. How about that?
I'll take it.
Okay,
thank you.
Very good, John. Thank you very much for calling
in.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Boy, we had one person call in. I wish we had more people calling in. You know, we had five lines open. We are going to be wrapping up this program because I think we're going to have about 3 minutes worth of commercials and we have 5 minutes remaining, and I'd like to just do my own ending and then run the commercials through to the final hour. Aaron, are there any final thoughts that you might have?
Just to thank you for giving me the chance to talk this evening. I've enjoyed it. We're going to have to buy another headset.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have that. We'll have my son, Mark, who does a lot of work, and he will do that for us, hopefully next week, so we can do this again. Okay, folks. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Jenkins Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government are like training wheels. You now have a control ride that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk. It says, "Don't steal." The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is my wife, Erin. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.